All right. You can turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And the title of my message tonight is, It's the Truth, Like It or Not. It's the Truth, Like It or Not. We've all heard that phrase before. It's the truth, whether you like it or not. We've all heard that. Hearing the truth is a good thing. It's a good thing, but sometimes it's not necessarily something we want to hear. 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Hearing the truth is a good thing, but sometimes it's not something we necessarily want to hear. When you've felt bad for a while and you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, we've run some tests and we can see here that you have cancer or maybe some other disease. That is most definitely something you don't want to hear. Even though it is the truth, it is something that you may not want to hear. When you're driving down the road and your car is acting up and it's kind of shaking around a little bit and you wonder what in the world is going on, and you drive it to the local mechanic and he says, all right, well, and he gives a rundown list of everything that's wrong with your car. And he says all these things that have gone wrong with it. You don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. It may be that you're at your job. They're having cutbacks. They say they're going to have to lay some people off. Then you are sitting there and you're thinking about all these things that you may lose, all these things that that you have had your security in, your paycheck, and all these kinds of things. And you're now, well, now they're going to cut everything back. You didn't want to hear that you was going to get laid off. But the truth is, that's what's fixing to happen. And sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. Whether it has something to do with our car, whether it has something to do with our job, or whether it has something to do with our health. The truth hurts. You know that? You know, sometimes the truth just hurts. It just hurts. It really does. And there are some things that we don't want to hear, we don't care to hear, but there are some things that we just really need to hear. Even though we don't want it, and we don't care to hear it, and don't want nothing to do with it, the truth hurts sometimes. And sometimes that's just something that we have to hear. Well, in our text tonight, we're going to look at a man. We're going to look at a man who didn't want to hear the truth. He didn't want to hear the truth, but whether he liked it or not, he got it. Whether he liked it or not, he got it. One of the main problems, I believe, today is that we have people that don't believe in absolute truth. They have we have schools and we have colleges, and the philosophy of life that the world teaches us is that teaches us and our children is that we just need to have an open mind to all these religions and just have an open mind to different lifestyles that the world has to offer. And that's what schools teach us, and that's what colleges teaches us, and that's what the world teaches us. And granted, I know we need to have an open mind to some things. But there are some things we just can't have an open mind for. There are some things that as we look to the Scriptures and God's Word, we see that there are some things that are true, whether some of us like it or not. There are some ways that we have to believe, whether people like it or not. There are just some things that we have to do, some things that are true, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. Because sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth hurts. Our country is founded upon many, many great freedoms. Many great freedoms. Such as the right to practice our religion and call God whatever we want to call God. Or we can call God the tree out there. We can call God the rock outside in the parking lot. We can call God whatever we want. That is your privilege. That is your right as an American to call God whatever it is that you want to call God and worship that rock and worship that tree in whichever manner, way that you see fit. That is a freedom that we have. And I praise the Lord and I thank God for the freedom and the privilege that we have to worship the way that we want to worship and to call God who we want to call God. But the truth is, whether you call that tree a God or you call that rock out there a God or whatever God it is that you may worship tonight, the truth is that there is only one God. And that's the truth, whether you like it or not. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. But there are many people that don't believe that. Many people that don't want to hear that. Many people that don't accept that. But that's the truth, whether you like it or not. That's the truth, whether you like it or not. And so we're going to talk about the truth, whether we like it or not. And we're going to talk about a man, we're going to look at a man who didn't want to hear the truth, but he got the truth, whether he liked it or not. But why is it important to know the truth anyways? Why is it important to know the truth? Well, knowing the truth is important for several different reasons. I want to show you three reasons why tonight, why it's so important that we know the truth. The first truth is that truth shows us direction. Truth shows direction. Truth guides us in the direction that we want to go to go wherever it is that we need to do. Let's take a look at our text here in chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, and let's see how truth shows us direction. Chapter 22, verse 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So our text says here in verse 2 that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to King Ahab of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, he was a good, godly king. He was a good, godly man. But Ahab wasn't that kind of person. Ahab was a wicked, ungodly man who had married a wicked, ungodly wife whose name was Jezebel, wicked woman. And so Jehoshaphat and Ahab were friends. But how in the world was Jehoshaphat, such a good, godly man, be in a league and feel this way with such a wicked, ungodly person such as Ahab? Well, see, one of the problems is that Jehoshaphat's son ended up marrying Ahab's daughter. And because they had married each other, they were in essence like family now. And so whatever come between one of the two, or something was facing this family, or whatever was facing this family, it became a family matter, so to speak. And so now they are in league with one another. And so he had this good godly man who is now in alliance and in a league with an ungodly man. And Ahab wanted to go to war with Syria. And so Jehoshaphat, his friend, comes down and he says, look, what we need to do, he says, don't you know something, Jehoshaphat? Don't you know that Ramoth Gilead is ours? It belongs to us? When technically it really didn't. It wasn't even part of his province. It actually belonged to Ahab. But you see, if Ahab could get Jehoshaphat to feel like and believe that, hey, it's going to be ours, and we can do this thing together, then maybe he can get Jehoshaphat to come down there with him and fight with him. And so what we see here is he's really got his own selfish intentions here. But Ahab wanted to go with war to Syria. And so he says in verse 5, Jehoshaphat says in verse 5, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And what I see here is Jehoshaphat, a good godly man. A good godly man. He wanted to seek the direction of the Lord. He wanted to seek the direction of the Lord. He wanted to know what the will of God was. Why? Because he knew that the Lord would tell him the truth. He knew that the Lord would show them the way that they needed to go and show them what it is that they need to do. He knew that if he went to the word of the Lord and he inquired of the word of the Lord and asked God what it is, what did you want me to do? Well, where is it that I need to go? He knew that if he went to God, that God would tell him the truth. That God would tell him the truth and all these things. And so truth shows us direction. Truth shows us direction. This is what a child of God does. When he comes to the point where he's got all kinds of things, something, whatever it is that's going on in his life, no matter what it is, and he says, well, what do I need to do about this thing? He says, look, the first thing that I need to do is I need to inquire of the Lord today. I need to inquire of Him. I need to ask God what He thinks about this. I need to see what His direction is on this thing. See, normally what we do is we just go out, we just get headstrong about something. We don't really think about what anybody else thinks, or we say, well, I'm a self-made person. I just do what I want to do and live how I want to live and all that. And that's why a lot of times we get ourselves in troubles and the mess that we get ourselves into. But see, what we got to do is we got to think like Jehoshaphat. In this situation, he was about to go to war. He's going to put his whole, he's going to put his family, he's going to put his army, all these things in combat. And he says, look, what we need to do, Ahab, is we need to inquire of the Lord today. Why don't we talk to God about this thing? Let's see what He says we need to do. Let's ask Him for some direction. And so, man, whatever it is that we face, whatever it is that we're going through, man, we just need to say, look, maybe we just need to ask God about this. See what it is that He wants us to do. Maybe it may be that He don't want you to. Well, I want to go to war. That belongs to me. Well, maybe it is that He don't want you to do that right now. Maybe that does belong to you, but maybe right now is not the time. Maybe you want to do that, and maybe God don't mind if you do it, but maybe right now is not the time that you need to have that. Or right, maybe right now is not the time that you need to do that. And so instead of just running out headstrong and just doing what we want to do and making a mess out of things, maybe we need to inquire of the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat said. Inquire of the Lord today, Ahab. What you need to do, Ahab, is we need to sit down and we need to inquire of the Lord. Let's talk to Him about it. Let's talk to some men of God about this thing. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what God has to say. Let's look for His direction. And Jehoshaphat said this because he knew that he could trust the direction of the Lord. He knew he could trust the direction of God. See, God's direction is important. His direction is important. Good direction is important. God's direction is important, and good direction is important. And it's important for several reasons. Good direction is important, and to get good direction, you also need to speak with somebody that knows direction. When you believe that? You believe that? Good direction is important. And if you want good direction, you need to speak with somebody that knows good direction. It would be a bad idea to ask me where it is around here that you need to go. It'd be a bad idea to ask me that. Why? Because I just moved here. I don't know this area. I don't know nothing about this area. So it'd be a bad idea to say, Pastor, where is this road? Or what highway is this? It'd be a bad idea to ask me that, because I'm going to probably tell you, if you take my directions, ain't no telling where you'll end up. Ain't no telling. I was a truck driver for many years. I drove a truck for many years. And so I lived based off direction. As I drove around, that's what I needed. I needed directions. I needed to know how to get here, and I needed to know how to get there. And so good direction is important. Why? Because if you don't have good direction, what ends up happening? You get lost. You get lost. You end up somewhere where you didn't want to be. You end up down here when you really wanted to be over there. And so good direction is important. But see, the other thing that's important is you need to go to somebody that really knows some good direction. And so who you go to give you good direction is just as important as the good direction itself. And so we need to seek good direction. Jehoshaphat knew that he could seek direction from God. Why? Because, well, he knew that God knew the way. Well, he knew that God knew all this. He knew that God knew what he needed to do. And so good direction is just important. It's just as important, if not more important, than the person that you're going to seek the direction from. As I said, I was a truck driver. Man, I tell you what, I had people give me directions. And I tell you what, it seemed like nobody in the world knew where this place was at I was looking for. I say, look, this is where I need to be, and do you know where this place is at? And they'd say, yeah, you go down here and you make a left and go down there and make a right, and you're in a 53-foot trailer, okay, and in a truck in a 53-foot trailer. And I say, yeah, go down here. And so you do exactly what they say. And you're nowhere near where you want to be. Why? Because they didn't give good directions. Hey, but sometimes we just don't listen to the directions. Sometimes maybe we just don't listen to the directions the way we need to. Sometimes people give clear direction, but we just ain't listening. You believe that? Sometimes we get lost because it's our own fault, because we ain't listening. And we have to listen to the direction that we get. He said, inquire of the Lord today. Well, if we're going to ask God to give us direction, you know what we got to do? We got to be willing to listen. We got to be willing to listen. We don't just ask God, what is it that you want me to do? What should I do about this? And what should I do about that? And then just shut our ears like this and say, well, I'm going to ask Him, but I don't want to hear Him, because I want Him to tell me what I want Him to. I don't want Him to tell me what I need to do. I just want to do what I want to do. See, that's what we do. We ask God, Lord, what would I need to do about this? And what should I do about that? And then we shut our ears up because we don't want to really hear what He wants us to do. And so we need to ask God for good direction. Ask for directions. I've been around people that really, they knew. I say, well, how do I get down here? And they say, well, I can't. Maybe you've said this. I've said this before. Well, I know where it's at, but I can't tell you how to get there. You ever done that? Yeah. So how do you get there? Well, I know where it's at.
Can't get there from here.
Yeah. Can't get there from here, brother. I don't know. Yeah, I've done that before. Yeah, I know where it's at, but I really just couldn't tell you how to get there. But if I got in the car and drove, I could drive you there, but I couldn't tell you how to get there. But ain't you glad that we serve a God that whenever we ask for directions, we know that He can give good directions. We know that He is very, very qualified and able to give the direction. He knows the way that we should go. And also, He can tell us how to get there. He can tell us how to get there.
Better than GPS.
Yeah, better than GPS. Yeah, because I tell you what, I followed my GPS before, and it took me around my back to get to my elbow, and it wasn't too fun. Yeah, and so, man, just praise God that we serve a God. So good direction is important. Good direction is important. But people every day are getting some bad directions. People every day are going down the wrong path. People every day are led astray, and every day they find themselves in places that they didn't want to be. Find themselves in places they didn't want to be. Why? Because they had bad directions, and they got bad directions for somebody that really wasn't qualified and able to give them direction. And so we need to just seek God and ask God, Lord, give me some directions. Inquire of the Lord today. Inquire of the Lord today. That's what He told Ahab. You want to go to battle, you want to go to fight, then what you need to do is look, just sit down for a minute. I know you're so willing and anxious to get out there and wield that sword around. Let everybody see how good of a good king you are. But what you need to do is you need to just sit down for a second and just ask God what it is that you need to do about this. Just sit down and ask God. So that's what we need to do. Man, just inquire of the Lord today. Inquire of the Lord. Truth gives us the right direction. You wouldn't ask an Eskimo the best way to get through the desert, would you? Oh, sure you wouldn't. You wouldn't ask an Eskimo the best way to get through the desert. You wouldn't ask the average person out on the street how you map yourself through the rainforest. You wouldn't do that. But I'll tell you what you could do. You probably could get my wife and probably Mike's wife together and get them to show you where the shoe store is at. You could probably do that. You could probably do that. They could probably map it out for you and everything. Tell you what's on sale, what shoe sizes there are and all of it. So if you want good direction, you can do some stuff like that. You want some shoes, there's plenty of women I'm sure you can talk to. But man, truth is good. Good direction. Secondly, truth sheds light on deception. Truth sheds light on deception. You know, some people, they can just spot a lie a mile away. Just spot a lie a mile away. But yet some people are just very gullible. Some people just have that ability to be able to look and be able to hear, just watch somebody. Or just listen to them long enough and they can say, he's lying. Or she's lying. Or what they're saying is not right. What they're saying is not. Some people have that ability. Some people, you can just tell them anything and they just shovel it in and just eat it all up. You know, that's just how some people are. They just can't really spot that. But some people are really good at seeing through people and just spotting a lie here and seeing a lie there. And just really good at just judging people. See, Jehoshaphat was that kind of person too. Jehoshaphat was the very same kind of person. He was a man that could see through deception. He had a lot of spiritual discernment. A lot of spiritual discernment. Let's take a look here in verses 6 and 7. After Jehoshaphat told Ahab to inquire of the Lord today, this is what happened. Verses 6 and 7. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat, verse 7, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him? Isn't there somebody else around here? Well, you would think that 400 prophets being there would be enough. You would think that 400 prophets there would be enough for Jehoshaphat to be able to believe the men that were there. But he says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside these that we might inquire of him? You see, Jehoshaphat could see the kind of men that they were. He knew that they weren't men of God. These people couldn't give him direction. These prophets didn't know the Lord no more than they knew Adam himself. They didn't know who God was. Well, they talked about God and they spoke about God. They spoke about God and all these things, but they didn't know God. And so they're out here just prophesying and teaching the way and say, yeah, go on up. The Lord said you'll be able to do this. The Lord said you'll be able to do that. And the Lord ain't said nothing. The Lord ain't said anything. You know, there's a lot of people like that today. A lot of people like that today. Man, I think about all kinds of people that I've heard. I think about all kinds of things I see on the television. I mean, there's all kinds of men. Benny Hinn, he's probably the biggest one that we all know. I mean, I ain't even getting on him. I ain't even going to get on it, but he's probably one of the biggest ones that we know. And yet, man, they get out there in front of thousands and thousands of people and in front of millions and millions of people and talk about, oh, the Lord this and the Lord that and even talk about Jesus and Jesus. Oh, and it just sounds so good. Just sounds so good. Just sounds so good. But there's a lot of people out here doing all these kinds of things. Man, doing all kinds of prophesying and all these kinds of... Well, I saw on television one time, I can't remember what day it was, but I just started flipping through the channels and there was a couple of guys on there and they was like, call in for your free prophetic reading. I was like, call in for your free prophetic reading? What is that? Call in and we'll just tell you what God told us to tell you today. And I'm just, what is... You know what that is? That's a psychic under the cover of that's like saying I'm a godly psychic. That's what that is. I'm like, come on, man, give me a break. But yeah, they're making people off. They're making money off all these people that call in. Making money off all these people that call. Man, they talk about Jesus and they talk about God and this and that and other. And they probably don't know God more than they know Adam either. And you know, I hope that one day they do. But you know, there's all kinds of people and these prophets were doing the same thing. Yeah, go on up, go on up. You can do this and you can do that. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides these? Besides these? And not everyone, as I said, that speaks the name of God, the name of Jesus, knows Jesus. Not everybody. Not everybody. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Lest his deeds should be reproved. See, truth sheds light. Truth sheds light on deception. And so he says, look, everyone that does evil hates the light. Why? Because his deeds will be shown. His deeds will be reproved. His deeds will be shown for what they were, for what they are, and then they'll be rebuked for it. He says, look, man, these people out here are doing all kinds of things like this. And so truth sheds light on deception. You know, and Christ is the truth, and he sheds the light on the darkness, and the darkness sheds, and the darkness... is where a lot of people are walking at this tonight. But these prophets said, the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. He said, yeah, going up, the Lord's going to deliver it into the hands of the king. But these men spoke of things that they didn't know. These men spoke about things that they didn't know because they didn't know God. They didn't know God. And so Jehoshaphat's sitting here wondering, there's got to be a man of God somewhere around here. Somewhere around here there's got to be a man of God. Is there not anybody else? And so then the king says in verse 8, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. So this is Ahab talking. He says, yeah, there's one man, Micaiah. Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. He says, yeah, there's one man we can go talk to. There is one man that I know of, but man, I don't like that guy. Man, I can't stand him. Man, I hate him. Why? Because Micaiah told the truth. Micaiah was a man that told the truth whether you liked it or not. Whether you liked it or not. If you wanted to know the truth, you just call Micaiah up. And he'll tell you. And he'll tell you. Because that's just the kind of person that he was. What do you think? Because he told the truth. Well, why does the world hate Christians today? Because we do the same thing. We tell the truth. What is it we do? We shed light on the darkness of this world, and the world can't stand it, and the people of this world can't stand it, and they can't stand it. Or they can't stand it when a preacher or just any Christian stands up and says, "Look, that's not right, and you shouldn't be doing that." And they can't stand that, and so that's why they hate the Bible and they hate the Word. They hate you because they don't want nothing to do with it. And they can't stand it because we shed light on the deception. We shed light on the deception, and you know they. The world hates Christians. Why the Pharisees hate Jesus? Why the Pharisees hate Jesus? Because he done the same thing. He gave light on the things that they said. He put light on the practices that they were doing, and he was showing the people and telling the people, look, that's not what you're supposed to do. And he shed light on all that, and they couldn't stand it. And they couldn't stand it, and they hated him so much that they killed him. They wanted to kill him. And that's how bad they hated him. That's how bad they hated him. And Ahab's the same kind of way. He says, look, yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, there's one man we can call up, one man we can talk to. But man, I hate his guts. I don't even want to talk to him. I don't want nothing to do with him. I think it's funny that a man who preaches and professes, man or woman, who professes the truth, will be hated by men. And those kind of people that those kind of people who preach and profess the truth, who will be hated, often I find it interesting that they don't keep those kind of people close by them. You don't keep people close by you to hear the truth. Man, if you just want to live how you want to live, you don't want people shedding light on your darkness. You don't want them around you. You don't want them being a damper on your parade. You don't want them being around. So why? Oh, see, Jehoshaphat, he kept his 400 prophets around because they just tell him what he wanted to hear. They just tell him what he wanted to hear. Oh, yeah, go on up. Yeah, we've done talk to the Lord about it. Everything's going to be all right. Just go on up and just do what you're going to do. And God ain't said nothing about that. They ain't mentioned nothing about that. But yet the one man that he knew of who would tell him the truth, he didn't want him around. Yeah, I know where he's not here, but I know where he's at. See, you don't keep people around you that shed light on your darkness. You don't keep people around you like that. That's why a lot of times you don't see backslid Christians that are really running with people who really want to live for the Lord. Why? Because they feel guilty about what they're doing, and you'll just shed some light on their darkness, and they don't want none of that. Lost people a lot of times don't want to run around with people who are real Christians because you'll just shed your light on their darkness, and they don't want none of that. You don't keep people around that's going to be a damper on your parade. And that's what we are, and that's what Micaiah was to Ahab. That's what Micaiah was. That's why he said, I hate him. I hate him. Why? Why? Because he doesn't prophesy good things to me. Every time we've ever asked him about anything, he always talks about how we're doing this wrong and we should be doing that, should be doing this, and this is sin and that. He never prophesies anything good. I hate him for that. Hate him for that. I think it's interesting that Micaiah's name means who is like God. Who is like God? Ahab was a man of the world. And people of the world don't like people who are like God. They don't like people who are like God. And Ahab hated Micaiah. Why? Because he was one who was like God. He was one who, he wasn't God, but he was just like God in his character. I also see that Micaiah was recognized as a man that told the truth. He was recognized as a man that told the truth. Why, he didn't like it. Ahab didn't like him because he was a man that could be recognized for standing up for what he believed in and telling the truth. And he didn't like Micaiah for that. And so Micaiah was a Christian, was a man that was known for standing up. He was a person that was known for telling the truth. That's the kind of person that he was. And if we're going to be recognized as Christians in our families, at work or in the world, wherever it is that people can recognize us as Christians, then we should make sure that we make it a point to be telling the truth. To be truthful, to be a truthful people. Christians should be recognized as people who are truthful. And Ahab recognized that in Micaiah. He recognized that in Micaiah. Jehoshaphat said in verse 8, he's at the very bottom of verse 8, he says, let not the king say so. He said, I hate him. And he said, let not the king say so. In other words, he's saying, Ahab, don't hate a man of God. Don't hate a man of God. He may tell you the truth, but man, don't hate him. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people they don't like not just preachers, but just anybody, any man or woman of the Lord that tells them the truth, and they don't like that. They don't like that. And so Jehoshaphat says, look, man, don't hate him. Don't hate him. But people leave churches every day because they hate something that the preacher said. And even though it was the truth, it didn't matter. They just leave just because they didn't like what he said. My preacher used to always say, my pastor used to always tell me, hey, he said, Brian, what you need to do, you always make sure you preach from the Bible. He said, if anybody's got a problem, they don't have a problem with you, they have a problem with God, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. They have to work it out with Him. And he said, that's what you just need to do. He said, just make sure that everything you say just comes straight from the Bible. He said, if somebody gets mad about it and somebody don't like it, they can just have to take it up with Him. And so that's just my motto. That's my philosophy, you know, that I try to do. You know, anytime you stand up long enough, you're going to stick your foot in your mouth sometime or another. You know, the more you talk, the more chances you got to stick your foot in. I mean, I understand that. Nobody's perfect, but I'm just saying, You know, people leave and leave church and get out of church and stop serving God for all kinds of reasons. And one of them is because they hated the preacher for something that he preached in his message. And even though it was the truth, and even though it come from God's word, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. But you know what? Sometimes it's just the truth, whether we like it or not. That's just the way it is. Sometimes it's just the truth, whether we like it or not. You know, there's things that we can read and hear them. You say, man, I don't like that. But you know what? It's the truth. It's the truth. Whether we like it or not. And so it says, look, let not the king say so. Man, don't hate this man of God. You know, it's been said that a man that has no enemies, may God have mercy on his soul. A man that has no enemies, may God have mercy on his soul. Why is that? Well, first thing is that a man that doesn't have any enemies is a man that doesn't stand up for anything. You know, I used to try for a long time. Man, I still today I can't stand it if somebody don't like me. I just can't stand it. It just used to aggravate me really bad. If somebody didn't like me, I just couldn't stand it. You know, and I just do everything I could to befriend them. You know, it didn't matter what it is, because I just wanted to be a likable person. You know, I just wanted to have friends, and I just didn't like the idea of being, you know, somebody having something against me. I just didn't like that. And that's a good thing. But you know what? I've come to realize that. Look. Somebody was talking to me about friends one time and about preaching one time, and I said, well, you know what? I said, I've come to realize this, that if I keep preaching the word that God told me to preach, there's going to be a lot more people that don't like me. There's going to be a lot of people that don't like me. Not because I'm just this kind of person or that kind of person, but just because I want to stand on the truth of God's word. There's going to be a lot of people that don't like me just because I preach the truth. And that's how Ahab was. And there's going to be a lot of people that don't like you because you stand up. You stand up, whether it's in your family, whether it's, you know, it's at home or at work or whatever it is you're at. There's people that don't like you just because you stand up for the truth. And Ahab was the same way. He didn't like Micaiah because he stood up for what was right. He stood up for what was the truth. He stood up for what was the truth. But a man that has no enemies, may God have mercy on his soul, because he don't stand for anything. He don't stand for anything. You see, a friend, what did we say when we was talking about when I brought the message on friends? A friend is what? He's honest. You know, a friend is honest with his friends. And Micaiah was the kind of person that would tell you what you needed to hear and not what you wanted to hear. But you see, Ahab had 400 prophets that would just, man, just give him all the milk and honey that he wanted. Whatever it is that would fill his belly, whatever it is that he wanted to hear. But Micaiah wasn't that kind of person. Ahab said in verse 9, he said, then the king of Israel called an officer and he said, hasten here, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And so the officers, they go and they get Micaiah and they're bringing him back. He says, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Micaiah's father's name, Imlah, is addressed here. And his name means whom God will fill up. Whom God will fill up. Obviously, his father had a desire to be filled with the Spirit of God, which is something that we ourselves should have a desire for. But let's read verses 10 and 12. As they go out and they say, all right, bring Micaiah in. And so they're going to go get Micaiah. And let's read verses 10 to 12. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, each sat on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. So they're just still out there prophesying all kinds of stuff. And Zedekiah, the son of, now I practiced this word today five times. And the son of Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands. And all they keep doing is just talking about all these things that the Lord's going to do. All these things that the Lord's going to do for the kings. And God ain't said nothing to them at all. But what I also think is interesting is we see here that Zedekiah, he was like the outspoken one of the bunch. Man, the Bible says that he went and he made a set of
horns. He made a set of horns. And he says, look, with these horns, this is what you're going to do. And so he was a real outspoken, a real energetic, a real kind of a person that really got the people involved. And so he made him a set of horns, you know, and he says, look. And so what's he start? He starts walking around with them and pushing up against people. And he says, look, this is what God said you're going to do. You're going to be pushing people like these horns. You're just going to push them and push them back. What do you think about that, King? Yeah, that's what God said. Man, you're going to be like these horns. Man, you're just going to push them around and just push them everywhere. And he was a real energetic, you know, a real fiery, you know, kind of person. And one of the prophets, Zedekiah here, he says, go fight. The Lord will deliver them into your hands. He was just a real dramatic kind of person. But the interesting thing here is he's a dramatic liar. A dramatic liar. You ever seen somebody, man, they could just lie, man. Some people are just really good at it. I mean, they could look you in the face and they can come up with some stuff right there on the spot. I mean, they could just really and get real dramatic about it. Oh yeah, man, this really happened. And man, just going to tell you some big story. I've had people, even when I was around, tell stories about me, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I wish I was there. Man, I wish I'd really done that. You just don't ever say nothing. No. You just, you know, whatever. But I tell you what, if I'd have done all the things everybody thought I've done, I'd have been living life. But he, that's just the kind of person that he was. He was just a real energetic, you know, a real dramatic kind of person. But he was a dramatic liar. A dramatic liar. Some people are just really good at that. Thirdly, the third truth can save from disaster. Save from disaster. The officers that came to pick up Micaiah, when they go get him, in verses 13 and 14, let's read. And the messenger that sent, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah, spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says unto me, that will I speak. That will I speak. And so they say, look, what you need to do is just say the same thing that the other ones are saying. Look, come on, Micaiah. He's called you down here on how many times, and you always prophesy bad. Man, just one time. Just tell him something that he wants to hear. Just one time, give him the, you know, just spoon feed him. Just one time. Let your words be the same thing as theirs. And he says, look, they declared the word. They told him exactly what the prophets had said. And they said, oh man, come on, Micaiah. Just let your words be the same thing as theirs. Just let it be the same thing as theirs. But Micaiah says, let me tell you something. As the Lord lives, that he says to me, will I speak. What the Lord says to me, that will I speak. Thank God for a man. Thank God for a man who would just tell the truth whether we like it or not. Just tell the truth whether we like it or not. Thank God for people like that. Micaiah says, I'll just say what the Lord wants me to say. I'm not just going to fit in with everybody just because that's what they want and that's what they like and this is what they desire. I'm not going to just fit in with everybody because this is what they want to do. I'm going to say what God tells me to say. And I believe as Christians and as a preacher myself, that is one of the most key verses in the Bible that we can think of about standing on the Word of God. I'm going to say what God says to say, whether hair lips the devil or not. I'm going to say what God says to say, regardless of who it hurts. Do you want to hurt people? Of course you don't. Of course you don't. But it's the truth sometimes, whether we like it or not. It's the truth. And sometimes, man, I preach out of the Word of God and I see these things and I get hurt before you get hurt. Man, it speaks to me just before it gets to you. And so I get up here a lot of times with my feet already sore and my heart already tendered because this done came to me. But man, we just got to tell the truth whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not. And sometimes that means teaching and preaching off sore feet and tender hearts. And that's just the way it is, whether we like it or not. He says, but I'm going to say what God has told me to say. I want to say what God's told me to say. But there's lots of people doing lots of speaking, but they're not saying a lot of what God told them to say. And that's exactly what Ahab's prophets were doing. Man, they had a lot to say. They spent a lot of time prophesying and saying God said this and God said that. But they weren't saying nothing that God told them to say. They weren't saying nothing that God told them to say. So then, Micaiah, they're on their way. You just got to picture this stuff in your head. And so Micaiah, he comes in. And he walks into the palace. And the Bible done says that the kings are sitting on their thrones there. On each side. And Micaiah comes walking in and I just picture him, you know, just... And maybe it's just Hollywood stuff coming out, but I just picture him just an old man, you know, just walking in with a big beard, you know. And I just picture him walking in there and all the 400 prophets are standing around and they're just looking at this guy and just sneering at him, you know. And Ahab's sitting up there looking at him, jeering at him, you know. And old good godly Jehoshaphat, he's standing there watching him, wanting to know what he has to say. And so Micaiah comes walking in and all this is going on around him. And he stops there in the middle. And Ahab looks down at him and asks him the question, should we go up to battle or not, Micaiah? What is it that we need to do? Do we need to go to fight? Do we need to go to Ramoth Gilead? Should we go to battle? And then Micaiah then gives the same answer as the other prophets do, amazingly. He says, oh yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead and go. Yeah, the Lord's going to deliver in your hand. Just go ahead and go. And you got to think about, and then what does the Bible say after he says that? What's in verse 15? So he came to the king, and the king said to Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure you or make you swear? Thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord. And so you got to understand how Micaiah is saying this. He's standing there in front of the king, and the king says, do we need to go to battle or not? He says, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. The Lord's going to give it to you. Go ahead. Kind of nonchalantly like that, like, yeah, do whatever you want to do. You ain't going to believe me anyway, so just do whatever you want to do. And so then that makes the king mad. He says, oh, come on now. How many times do I got to ask you to tell me the truth? How many times do I got to ask you to tell me the truth, to make you swear? And so you got to understand the how this thing's proceeding, how this thing's going. And then he says in verse 17, it's almost like he just lifts up his eyes and looks at the king. And he says, you want to know the truth, Ahab? You want to know the truth? You really want to know the truth, Ahab? And he says in verse 17, I saw all Israel, and I can just see his finger just kind of pointing. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And then look what verse 18 says. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you? They would prosify no good concerning me, but evil. Didn't I tell you, Jehoshaphat? Didn't I tell you that this is what he would say? I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to go to battle, and I asked all my men. But yet here comes this one man that always wants to be a thorn in my side. Here comes this one man that always wants to ruin everything for me. Didn't I tell you he was going to say that? And then you look on down. It's like Micaiah just interrupts him while he's talking. Just like Micaiah just interrupts King Ahab while he's talking. And he said, 19, he said, and he said, hear thou, therefore, the word of the Lord. It's like he said, I'm not done, Ahab. I'm not finished. There's more that I got to tell you. And he says there, hear thou, therefore, the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab? He shall go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead. And one said on this matter, and another on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith or how? And he said, I will go forth and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. He said, you want to know the truth? This is what the truth is. I saw heaven wide open, and I saw the throne of God, and I saw the spirits around there. And God said, who's going to go up and persuade Ahab to do this thing? And he told him the whole thing. Just told him the whole thing. The truth, whether he liked it or not. The truth, whether he liked it or not. Told him the truth, whether he liked it or not. And then verses 19 to 23. Well, we can read verse 23. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. And the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. And then we see here in verse 27 that Ahab had Micaiah hauled away. Had him taken to prison. But as he's being taken away to prison, why is he going to prison? Because he didn't like the truth, and he didn't like what it is that Micaiah had to say. He didn't like it. That's why he didn't have him around to begin with, because he really didn't want to hear it. He just wanted to do what he wanted to do. And he didn't really want to hear the truth. But sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth just hurts. It hurts bad. And so because Micaiah told the truth, he says, we're going to take him away, put him in prison. Take him away and put him in prison. But as he's being taken away, you got to picture this whole thing. Ahab says, take him away. And so they come in and they grab a hold of Micaiah, and they're leading him away. And in verse 28, Micaiah, it's like he just thunders out, like he just hollers out in the palace. And he says, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hasn't spoken by me. If thou return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he says, hearken, O people, every one of you. And they drag him out. And they drag him out. You want to know the truth, Hezekiah? You want to know the truth, Ahab? And so that's what he does. They pull him out. And as they're pulling him out, I just see the struggle. And as they're pulling him out, you know, he's just thundering back, telling them what he wants them to hear. And they shut the door, and he opens back up, gets one more word in, and they shut it back, you know. I picture all that stuff in my head. I'm pretty dramatic, too. But you got to get this stuff in your head. You got to see how it's going on. You get a better picture of it when you read the words and you see it how these people are saying it. And no matter what, no matter if he was going to prison, no matter what was going to happen to him, he was going to tell the truth. He was going to tell the truth. And then we see here in verse 29 that Ahab and Jehoshaphat, they went up to Ramoth Gilead. And they fought. And verse 34, King Ahab was hit with an arrow. And then verses 35 to 36, you know, the army lost. And they were returning home. And in verse 37, King Ahab died. Micaiah tried to warn him. He tried to warn him. The truth saves from disaster. The truth saves from disaster. And he tried to save them from disaster. He tried to. But there wouldn't nobody listen. The truth was brought in. The truth was heard. And then the truth was ignored. And because of that, there was a disaster and Ahab ended up dying. And so the three truths that we learned tonight is the truth shows us direction. The truth sheds light on deception. And the truth saves from disaster. And people every day are ignoring the truth of God's Word that Jesus is the only way. And let me tell you something. You ignore that truth. You ignore that truth, and it's going to be a disastrous day for you when you die. It's going to be a disastrous day for you when you die. Because if you die lost today, you die lost today. The very next second you open up your eyes, you're going to be in hell. If you die without Christ tonight, whether it's tonight or tomorrow or no matter what it is, if you die without Christ and you're lost, you're going to go to hell. And that's just the way it is. And that's the truth, whether we like it or not. That's the truth, whether we like it or not. That is the truth. And people don't know what to believe anymore, and they're just kind of walking around. And you know, because the truth is, people don't know the truth because they've ignored the way. They don't know which way to go. Many are being deceived, and many who are being deceived are in danger of hellfire tonight. And many who have already been deceived and have already died and going on are there tonight. And that's the truth, whether we like it or not. That's the truth, whether we like it or not. And let me tell you something. Micaiah was Ahab's best friend. You say, how in the world was Micaiah Ahab's best friend? Because he was a man that cared enough about Ahab to tell him the truth. To tell him the truth. Because see, if Ahab would have listened to him, he'd still be alive. He'd still be alive. And his future would have been completely different. And all those 400 prophets that he thought were really his friends, and they were just spoon-feeding him everything that he wanted to hear. A friend is a person who is honest with his other friends and will tell them the truth even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. Sometimes we don't always want to hear it. But it's the truth whether we like it or not. Let's pray.